this amount, and we rolled them back in.
Professor, they're not an increase over last year, they're an increase over what the governor was proposing in terms of the way he presented his budget.
Right.
You're just disallowing the transfer of that money so that it stays in there, which is different from what the governor's amended request was.
Correct.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. All right, that was a quick overview. And what I would like to do now is, Mr. Chairman, is go ahead and go through. On page two, a teacher's retirement match, there was basically no change. It stayed pretty much the same. The longevity bonus, we had a number of requests there to try to accommodate, and we had asked the department there to reevaluate their longevity bonus request, and we have a response, or we had a response to where we felt where we could reduce the governor's request from the what was that total amount?
52,971.
From 52,971, and to make the reduction of 855,000. And the reason that we feel that we can come up with this reduction is that the DOA has overstated its estimate for the longevity bonus grants for the past 2 years. During the 1987 session of the legislature, we had passed a supplemental for the amount of $212,000, and this supplemental was not used, and I believe that was rolled back in, that lapsed back in. And in the FY88 budget, the governor vetoed $600,000 from the longevity bonus program grants. And with the current projections of the population decrease that we're experiencing, that the expected growth that the department had anticipated of 4.7%, they feel that it would be more realistic if we use 3%. So taking the difference in the percentage from the total amount gave us the flexibility to use $855,000, which covers the request that we had from the legislature, as well as rolling the balance into the leasing program. And with that, I guess I'll, if there's any questions on this portion of the longevity bonus, we might be able to direct that to the commissioner.
Yeah. Senator Yulee. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I worked with Senator Zaroff on his budget subcommittee, specifically on this longevity bonus problem and the grant section. For the record, though, I would like to ask the commissioner, basically, it's your understanding then that with the longevity bonus grants, that, with this change, that you'll still be able to fund everything through 1989?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, that is our expectation, that we have no reason to believe that this would lead automatically to a supplemental appropriation request next year. It doesn't guarantee that it won't happen. You never know what the trend is going to be, but it's our expectation that this will work without a supplement.
Mr. Chairman, to ensure that, I'm sure that it probably goes without saying, but we have also included intent language and under the section which reads, the department shall request supplemental funding should its estimates prove too low. The page 8, longevity bonus administration, no change. The from pages 12 through 18 or 20, basically no changes. They accept there that this will show that there is the increase there of the 42.3 in Sitka, the 19.2 in Fairbanks, the 81.2 in Palmer, the Anchorage Pioneer Home of 118.2, and these are all and also 13.3 from Ketchikan. And these are all the denial of the transfers that were made, requested, and we felt there that these monies would be better spent in those Pioneer Homes. And I believe the in the Palmer Pioneer Home, as I'd mentioned, there was a creation of a Nurse 3 position in there, and also a I believe that was it. The Juneau Pioneer Home on page 22, as I'd mentioned, was funded at about 90% of its operational costs. It's my feeling there that the Pioneer Home will probably be able to operate its at its occupancy rate in July, but I could be wrong, and I would, you know, we just didn't have the flexibility for the 100% funding within this budget at this time. But I would just bring that to the attention of the committee that there may be a problem, and if there is, maybe there may be a supplemental request or something there in the future at a future date.
Mr. Chairman, Senator, what was the occupancy on the Pioneer Home?
I believe that there were 52 beds
in Juneau.
In Juneau. 20, we had what, residential care and nursing, and I'm not sure how that broke up. There was it 30 or 32 for, was 32 for residential and...
The other way around.
Or 32 for nursing and 20 for residential.
Mr. Chairman, it's going to take 54 people to take care of those people?
40.
Well, you've got 40 full-time and 14 part-time.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator, I guess the commissioner can respond to that, but I might add, I mean, I don't think, if you compare that to what the Ketchikan home has or any other homes have, I don't think those figures are any higher than the other home is. In fact, they may be slightly lower.
How do the staffing levels compare in the new facility to the existing Pioneer facility?
Mr. Chairman, this this was modeled after the Ketchikan Pioneer Home because it's a comparable size and because it's the most recent one that we've opened. The reason for, in my sense of it anyway, the reason for the apparently high number of staff compared to the number of beds is that these people have to cover all 24 hours of the day of service to these people. So you have people working three shifts in the nursing area, for instance.
Mr. Chairman, how many beds does Ketchikan have?
Top of my head, I don't know.
Anyway, the point I was trying to make, maybe we need to answer, if you look back at Ketchikan, they have 40 full-time positions and 13 part-time.
There's 54 in that.
Yeah, it's the same size facility.
Same number of beds?
It's within one or two.
Okay.
Real close.
Senator Fisher,
when do you anticipate full occupancy of those beds, you know?
We expect the first person to walk in the door July 1, and within, I'm guessing, 6 weeks it would be full.
Full in the sense the bodies are there, full that the commitment's made to take care of the bed?
Full in the sense the bodies are there. Is that what you mean?
The patients or the clients? Or
I shouldn't say bodies.
Residents.
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 There would be that startup period. In that sense, it would take 6 weeks for the 52nd bed to be occupied.
Mm-hmm.
To make it administratively feasible. You can't have 52 people walking in the door on the same day. It would be chaos. I don't expect that that's going to result in a great deal of savings because your full staff has to have been there already to be trained and drilled on procedures.
Is your full staff going to come aboard July 1?
This full staff will be aboard by June 1.
So you have full staff aboard for a month before any clients come in?
Correct.
Pardon?
And the full staff, the staffing is the bulk of the expenditure in this area, so.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, Senator Halpern.
Yeah, I mean, I can understand having staff a month ahead of time, and I can understand having staff in every category as you start up, but I don't think you need all of your staff positions filled the first of June. And I hope you probably don't have to add the last of them until 2 or 3 weeks after the facility is opened. It doesn't make a lot of sense to add the cooks in June to cook for each other, because you won't have any residents.
Well, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Duncan.
I'm not sure how deep we want to get into this, but I don't believe that. I think that certain functions of the home are intended to be contracted out, and as I recall, most of these positions, these 40 positions, I don't have a list here in front of me, they are not cooks. They are nurses, nursing assistants, those type of positions. Housekeeping, cooking, maintenance, et cetera, are proposed to be contracted out this time. Is that correct, Commissioner?
I didn't want to make a big thing of it. I just think you don't have to have all of them there.
Yes.
The first.
But the point is,
you do have to have most of your staff, and you have to build them up pretty fast. If you're going to have all your people in 6 weeks, you just got to build up fast.
Yeah, but the point is, most of these people do need some training as to how to handle patients and do some things like that, or how the system works. These are not somebody out there trying to grow grass or something.
That's
not grass, the kind of grass that Senator Hensley's thinking about, but grass that grows on the ground.
Well, Mr. Chairman, it's up to the discretion of the commissioner to put those people on when he feels they need to go on.
Senator Hensley.
Well, that's awfully loose, isn't it?
Well, I think the commissioner's pretty concerned about their opening day. And that's all 52. You want all 52 people there?
I didn't mean it exactly that, literally. There are positions that are going to be hired within a few weeks. And there are some that will be hired at the last possible minute. I guess I meant it more in an average sense, that you can't expect to realize any savings in the operation of the home because it takes a while to bring patients in, because most of the costs are in the staff, and they have to be there before the patients. That's really all I meant by that. We will not have a fully staffed function June 1. We will have incurred some staffing expenses toward in April.
Well, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Duncan.
Mr. Chairman, I think we can discuss this for some time. What I guess I'd ask you to look back at is the cost of operating the Juneau Pioneer Home, which the agency, the governor's amended budget, had a total of $2,170,000. Compare that to the comparable home of Ketchikan, with the total expenditure of $2,325,000, and go on back. I think, just in defense of the Juneau Pioneer Home and the commissioner and everybody that's concerned about this, is that we have done a pretty incredible job in Juneau of reducing the overall cost of the Juneau Pioneer Home and its operations, and we've gone through a long, ongoing struggle to even get the thing operational so that we can have residents in there. And there is a waiting list of, I guess, 100 people or so who would like to become residents of the Juneau Pioneer Home. So I think, as far as saving money at Juneau, we've done a pretty good job. And if you look at Ketchikan, which is a comparable size home, it's going to cost $200,000 more. So why don't we go on to another page?
Senator,
I think I have no quarrel with what you're saying, Senator. I guess my interest is that if you're in training, you're not really, employed full time, I wouldn't think. I mean, it's sort of like a training period. And, rather than have somebody on the payroll for 6 weeks, sort of in training, it seems to me that you put them on full time when they're needed full time. And that's my only.
Well, I think they intend to do that. I mean, well, Mr. Chairman, I don't have anything further to say. But
Senator Fisher.
Just to follow up, Senator Hensley, do you have any idea as to how many are going to be transferred from other Pioneer homes? Or are they mostly new people?
Mr. Chairman, I don't have a very firm idea of that at all. We're going to try to get at least a core of people who are not only qualified in their areas of expertise, but familiar with how the Pioneer homes work. I don't know how many or from which home at this point, but we're going to try to get a sampling of them in each area of the home, just so it's as smooth as possible.
You have a target there, don't you, a certain percentage or something?
No.
You mean the planning wasn't done to that level?
No, at this point, in my mind anyway, it's still a fairly intuitive concept. I don't have a target of a certain percentage or certain positions at this point.
Okay, then when they transfer, if they do, do we pay the moving expenses too, do we not? And that's reflected in the budget somewhere?
Yes.
Where is that reflected in the budget?
Yes. Isn't that $2,000 worth of travel, right?
Well, no, it's the personal services, because it comes out of the contract provisions of the transfer.
Is that where it is?
It's not differentiated, so.
Okay. Senator Zaro?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We did put $500,000 in last year's budget to handle the startup costs of this, so I imagine most of those expenses are going to be coming out of that initial $500,000 that was set aside for that.
In the FY88 budget?
In the FY88.
One thought, Commissioner, and I know Senator Fisher, I think, is working on this in corrections, though, is rather than initiating an opening on July 1st, and of course then incurring quite a bit of expense related to overtime on the 4th of July weekend, is waiting until July 5th, and I think there's a prison facility that Senator Fisher is planning on opening or allocating the money to open July 5th rather than July 1st, which is a pretty substantial savings when you consider the cost of operating during the 4th of July weekend.
Well, Senator Fisher, Labor Day comes up pretty quick after that, too. So we
pardon?
Labor Day is a
good point. I was just kidding, but I could wait till after Labor Day.
Yeah. Or maybe even Christmas. I mean, you know, we got to watch
your
movies. We're getting a little field here.
Senator Albert.
Have we gotten to page 24 yet?
I think we were on page 23.
Around, so
Senator Zaro.
Okay, on page 24, there was a $101,300 reduction due to a denial of transfers of positions from the Anchorage Pioneer Home.
Senator Halpern.
Mr. Chairman, I have a question on the legislative intent on page 25. It is the intent of the legislature that the department not increase the private contracting of operational services in number or in kind for the Pioneer's homes. I disagree with that letter of intent, I think.
Senator Zaro.
Yes, I think, Mr. Chairman, this letter of intent is much broader than the original letter of intent that was submitted to us by Senator Curtula in this regard here, and we had a difficult time coming up with language that would allow the department to continue to do basically what it was doing now and not restrict the department in its contractual services. I guess there are some concerns in the Palmer area, in the Palmer Pioneer Home, in regards to how far the department is going with its contractual services.
Senator Hinsley.
Mr. Chairman, it seems that there was either a bill or a resolution that addressed this subject, and it was in State Affairs, and I had a couple of committee referrals, but I took exception to that resolution for this reason, and it's not just in relation to the Pioneer's Homes that concerns me, this effort to preclude the administration, any future administration, from looking at ways and means to reduce the cost of government. And it just seems to me that with that kind of mindset, we're simply not going to be able to reduce the governmental expenditures down the road when we're beginning to run out of money. And whether it's dealing with corrections or the Pioneer's Homes or any other governmental entity, there's an assumption that private care is just de facto worse. When I don't think that's necessarily the case. To me, it's a matter of management, it's a matter of quality control, it's a matter of oversight. And I would also take exception to that.
We could delete the word not in the first line.
Technical. I would accept that.
Senator Zaroff.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, maybe we can leave this section open here and discuss that. Intent to see if there is a workload, because I shared the same concerns with Senator Hensley, and this is why we tried to broaden the language from the original intent language that came to us. So,
Mr. Chairman,
Senator,
I have no problem leaving it open. I'm not sure what impact that intent has anyway, because most of these homes, as I understand it, most of the homes have contracted out the head of housekeeping, the head of food services, the administration of maintenance, to contract out further positions. It really runs into some problems with labor contracts, et cetera, I think. So I'm not sure the language is even needed, to be quite honest, because I think there's some problems with the department just going ahead contracting out anyway. So I just wanted to mention that. I think there are some other problems. Pardon?
Even when we want them to.
Yeah, even when well, what we found out when we wanted them to was that they're...
It's impossible.
It's not an easy thing to do, and the only firm that, you know, we could contract out somebody in London or someplace. But anyway, I'm not, you know, it's no big deal as far as I can see, as far as language goes anyway.
Okay, we'll leave that page open.
Okay, there is an additional intent language in there, and it just... states that the department shall not transfer funds from Pioneer Homes to other divisions, keeping the funding for the Pioneer Homes in the Pioneer Homes.
Where is that on the same area, Senator?
Yes, that's page 25.
Oh, I see. Okay,
it's the second intent. Page 26, the advisory board, there is no change. Page 28. The older Alaskan services, 62.6 thousand increase reflects the increase of 9.1 for the Fairbanks Retired Senior Volunteer Program and 53.5 for the older Alaskans Ombudsman in accordance with Senate Bill 442. Now, Senate Bill 442, I understand, also has a fiscal note attached to it. So if that fiscal note passes with the final legislation, then I would assume there that this 53.5 would not be needed in here. And if that's the case, then what I would like to do is offer some additional intent language to state there that if the fiscal note for Senate Bill 442 passes along with the bill, that the funds identified for the component for the old Alaskan Ombudsman shall be transferred to the Division of Finance. And the reason I'm suggesting the Division of Finance, this is the section where all of those transfers from the Pioneer Homes were to have been made to.
Well, Mr. Chairman Halpern,
question. Both the Senator Ewing and Senator Zaroff, didn't the fiscal note on Senate Bill 442 provide that the Ombudsman be funded from federal funds?
That's correct.
So what we're doing is we're displacing the federal funds to release the federal funds otherwise when we passed a fiscal note that covered the position in federal funds.
Well, Mr. Chairman, there's no guarantee that that there'd ever be those federal funds that would be there even though you put it on there.
Well, no, they testified that they had the federal funds. It wasn't new optional federal funds added because of that position. When we funded it out of federal funds, and that was
okay. This was sort of a backstop there in the event there that there was some question on the funding that we needed.
Right. And Mr. Chairman, it may be possible that the bill that's going through the process may have a zero fiscal note on it.
Well, usually the most appropriate way is to put the fiscal note on, because if the bill doesn't pass, then you're going to have the money in the budget and no establishment of the Ombudsman's office.
It can be taken out of conference.
with the suggestion of this letter of intent, why don't I go ahead and pass that out? In the event that there is some additional funding or alternate funding for the ombudsman position for this department, I think there that we ought to be able to have at least some flexibility in being able to transfer this. It's something that would only trigger if the funding were not available.
Thank you.
I
Chairman, I
Well, I think that would transfer.
This is laudable and everything.
As far as an allocation.
I just do not have any letter in town. They want to take it out in Congress and be fine.
Well, Mr. Chairman, may I ask a question?
Senator Duncan.
This is the first time I've seen it.
Let me just understand. If the legislation for the older Alaskans ombudsman does not pass, can the position be established without the legislation? Is it required? Is the legislation required?
Yeah, the legislation is required. Otherwise, we lose federal funds.
So what, well, yeah, I guess the question I asked, was trying to ask was, if the bill doesn't pass, can we establish the ombudsman by general fund, and can he still carry out the duties that the legislation is requiring him to carry out?
I don't think so.
There's some question about that. It is better if the bill passes, but the testimony I've heard was that they could do it without the bill, but they're concerned that it's not really, because I think they're already doing some of it right now. But if they wanted it titled that way, so that it happened right out front of the federal fund question.
Well, I guess my point was, Mr. Chairman, I think it's a good thing to do. I think the senior ombudsman is good. However, if legislation is required, the more proper way to do it is do it by a fiscal note to keep it tied to the bill. And if that's what we intend to do, then why, instead of doing this intent, just move this 52-6, if Senator Jaroff can make the case, over to the finance division in the budget now as it
right.
goes.
Or back to general fund.
Or, pardon?
Or back to the general
fund. Or back to I said if he can make the case. Yeah. If he can't make the case, it goes back to the general fund, I guess.
Well,
but it seems to me that the ombudsman, if they need the legislation, the proper way to do it is by fiscal note instead of in the budget. But I support the program. I just don't know if this is the proper way to do it.
Now, Mr. Chairman, the only thing I would object to is don't have any intent language in there. Just leave it as it is.
What?
Senator Jarrett.
Mr. Chairman, I could go either way. I'm just a little bit concerned there that we did deny the transfers from the Pioneer Homes at the request of the department to the various Division of Finance, and I'm not sure what the impact of that is going to be, and this would roughly represent about half of what those requests were. I don't have any problems. If you don't want to deal with the fiscal note, maybe we can address that some other way, but if the funding is not necessary, then I would still like to use it in the Department of Administration.
Did the department request denying the transfers? Is that what you just said?
No.
Okay.
The legislature just denied the transfers that the department had requested.
Because you found that it wasn't necessary?
No. Nope. We found there that we did not want to take money out of the existing Pioneer Homes and transfer them to to another agency within the department's administration.
Mr. Chairman.
Yep. We're going to, Senator Ewing.
I just request that we don't have any account managers.
Okay, we're going to pick this. We're going to go down to session. This is going to begin at 11:30.
He'll withdraw this.
We're going to begin again when we come back on this page. What was it? Page 29. Older Alaskan Services under a loan. Older Alaskan Commission. We come back at 1:30, and then we'll begin with parks, natural resources, DOT, and fish and game. Minus is adjourned for 1:30. Committee back to order. Senator Zaroff, I believe we were in the administration budget on page 28, the Older Alaskan Commission, Older Alaskan Services.
Yes.
Senator Zaroff.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think we had gone through, and at this point we had identified that there would be an increase of $62,000.6. Dollars, which reflected 9.1 for the Fairbanks Retired Senior Volunteer Program and 53.5 for the older Alaskan Ombudsman position. And I think that's where we kind of concluded our discussions at this point. And I don't know how we're going to resolve that. I had some intent language that evidently was not going to work out. Quite possibly, we could just go ahead and leave these figures in here at this point and deal with it in the conference committee if we need to be. So, with that, I would just say that the intent language that we had handed out for page 28 would be good doodling paper for this time. Okay. And then
intent language that does exist on page 28 identifies the funding for the Fairbanks Senior Volunteer Program, and that it is the intent of the legislature that the Foster Grandparent Program receive full funding in FY89. Any questions there?
Is the full funding available in the
budget?
Which page are you on?
Page 32.
Okay, speak up.
The first, the public defenders for the first judicial district, there's no change there. Page 34, the second judicial district for public defenders, no change. Page 36, the third judicial district, no change. The fourth, the judicial district, no change. That's page 38. Page 40, the Public Defenders Administration Support, there is no change. And page 42, the Public Office of Public Advocacy, there is an increase of 40.6 thousand. It's requested by the Department of Administration to fund a clerk typist position in conjunction with House Bill 7. The Guardians at Litem program, which passed the legislature earlier this session. And since this is the second year, it brings in that second position, which called for in the legislation that was passed. And I believe this was a request, Senator Halford, I think you may have sent this over.
I did?
Yes.
You in my office did?
You did, or somebody did. It came from indirectly through the Department of Administration. And I understand that there is an additional 63,000, is there, that's being attached to this as well.
Yes.
Can they rent?
Pardon?
It's okay to rent?
Yeah, I thought it was rent.
It's a subcommittee deal.
You're doing it
from the Rules Committee because they passed a fiscal note that was different.
It's okay.
We didn't get to look at it. But whatever they made sense of.
Right. And this was the 40.6 thousand in here that they required, that they said that they needed in addition to what was there.
And that was the department's recommendation for the bill.
Correct.
But that was for a second position, right?
Right.
But this, the bill doesn't necessarily call for two positions.
It did for this fiscal year.
No. There's no $1,000.
We didn't get the fiscal this year. I wasn't right. There. My problem is...
Yeah, but the original fiscal law called for one person, right?
Yeah, my understanding was, where's Commissioner on this one?
Commissioner, if you could join us again, please. Okay.
My understanding was that the first year that... program would have, if it passed last year, would have required the first position, and then the passage of or the continuation of the program this year would have called for the clerk typist or whatever it was there, that position to be included, and that's what this amount was here.
Page 4. But the bill didn't pass last year, right?
Right.
It passed this year.
Right.
So there was not a position last year.
It was already out of finance. When I first got up here and they passed the two rules, I said, wait a minute, I find the fiscal note was last year's fiscal note, it didn't make any sense.
Right.
Where's the fiscal note?
That anticipated in the first year one position,
right.
And then in FY89 an additional position.
Right.
But of course, this bill did not pass in 87, effective for the fiscal year 88.
And we passed it with the old fiscal one to show the year.
Well,
that was already out of this committee before we got here to look.
Then why is it in the budget?
Because the bill hasn't passed out of this
plan. Yeah, but the bill now passed with the fiscal note, right? For FY89, so why is it in the budget also?
Must be an extra position.
Chairman.
Well, let's hold this page open and see if we can get a little more clarification on that.
Which, do I have the right page here? Which page is this?
That would be page 42.
42 and 43. 42.
42, okay. Okay, continuing on.
All right, on page 46, the Central Offices and Statewide Services, there's no change, but there is intent language included that states that the legislature would like to have the governor's criminal justice working group submit a report and list the criteria that's on that that they would. We would like to see as a minimum for the basis of the report. Okay, page 48. No administrative services, no change. Municipal grants, page 50, no change. Page 52, CIP direct charge positions, no change. Personnel, page 54, no change. Page 56, the Productivity Improvement Center, no change. 58, Labor Relations, no change. Page 60, Finance, there is a $92,500 reduction due to the denial of funds to be transferred from the Pioneer Home. This is where they were going to transfer the funds that were in the Pioneer Homes earlier.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Dunn.
Mr. Chairman, this is the area, of course, that we kind of discussed this morning, and I just wondered if I could get an explanation of what that exactly those funds were to do, because Senator Zeroff had proposed that perhaps if the older Alaskan's ombudsman position is not needed, that then that money that he put in the 53 could be used here to pick up this area, and I just wondered what this area does. What is the need here that's not being funded?
Probably ask the commissioner that.
Mr. Chairman, the intention of this transfer was to, given the budget cap that the governor placed upon us, to move money from what in our judgment was a place where it had been lapsed in previous years to a place where it had been painfully short in previous years. And this shortage exists in the current year as well. The vacancy factor for the Division of Finance is upwards of 8%, which means that they are forced to keep positions vacant during the course of the year. Now, the three basic functions they do in that division are payroll, the general accounting function. Lost it. Take those two anyway. We cannot reduce the staff into the payroll section anymore, or the paychecks just don't get out. I mean, they're down to the wire on that. And I talked to the director of the division just after this morning's session to get his assessment of this. His intention would be to absorb this $92,000 by cutting his accounting staff in half from 6 people to 3 people. That would put us in some difficulty in getting the annual financial report out on time, in getting the 1099s to the federal government on time, in getting vendors' taxpayer identification numbers included in payments to avoid penalties for the IRS people. It would generally impair our ability to serve our client agencies in establishing appropriations and general assistance with handling the pre-audit kinds of functions in that division. It would put us in some hurt. We are able to escape some of that pain this year by essentially volunteer contributions from some of our client agencies who realize the importance of the success of this function and have come forward with some money in terms of reimbursable services agreements during the current fiscal year. none of them have budgeted for that in the coming fiscal year. That's where it would leave us.
Mr. Chairman.
Yeah.
I guess the reason why I asked the question is, I don't know how you want to handle this. As I said, the Ombudsman for the Odor Lassen Commission is very important, but it appears it's possible to fund that out of federal funds, as we intended to do on the fiscal note. In fact, the federal funds are available for that. And what we've done in this budget area is taken some general fund money that can be used to help provide these accounting functions, and have funded that position when it really can be funded by federal funds. So we're maybe shoring an area where that really seriously needs help just to cover ourselves on over last ombudsman and both the budget and the legislation. That's the reason why I brought that up. I think that needs to be considered. I think we should.
Okay, Senator Zara.
Could we hold this page open then?
Sure.
Okay. Which page is that, right?
That was
page
60.
60?
60 is hello. Chairman, the decisions were very difficult. This is one budget that we have very little flexibility in which to make some of the decisions there that we had to make. Moving on, page 62, purchasing, there's no change. Property management, page 64, there's no change. Page 66, no change. 68, archives, no change. This was, you'll notice is zero, it was not funded, it's been transferred to the Department of Education. Retirement and benefits, page 70, no change. Page 72, E-Corps retirement benefits, no change. The retirement incentive operation, page 74, no change. You'll notice that, with the exception that this is deleted in 89, it was a one-time item in FY88. Page 76, the retirement, our labor relations agency, no change. Page 78, railroad labor relations agency, no change. Page 82, the Alaska Public Offices Commission, no change, but there is some intent language being offered, in that the Alaska Public Offices Commission shall provide pre-election services in Fairbanks as staff resources permit. And this is to allow the presence of the APOC in the Fairbanks area, and we understand that there will not be any additional costs incurred, and that they could do it within the existing budget, but to feel more comfortable that this would be done, we simply inserted intent language. Page 86, risk management, no change. Page 90, information resource management, no change. Page 92, telecommunications operations. This huge letter of intent. And it shows there that there is a $92,600 reduction due to denial of transfer in from the Pioneer Homes. This is part of the transfer money is there to come in. And the intent language that was inserted here refers basically that the legislature would want the Division of Telecommunications, in the Department of Administration to develop a five-year long-range plan for the state of Alaska's telecommunications network in accordance with the statutes that allow the telecommunications to exist. And the plan would include an analysis and long-range impact on state payers, local and long-distance interstate rates, and so on. I think it's pretty self-explanatory. It is a little lengthy, but our concern was here is we did not want the state getting out there and competing with the smaller utilities, and if the state does go out and put this network together and encourage other users to participate, that we could see substantially a large increase in our rural users. And so hopefully this will take care of part of that. And the department is currently conducting discussions with the various utilities, smaller utilities throughout the state. It is a lengthy letter of intent, if you'd like to hold it.
Senator Howell.
I got one question, the threshold question is, and that is that the review panel includes the House but not the Senate. It includes essentially the administration and PUC and the House Special Committee. But there's no Senate counterpart, so we're putting out a Senate letter of intent that says that House and the administration will decide what to do.
It's not very smart, is it?
Well, we don't, the Senate does not have a...
Well, maybe we should have one.
We should have a big budget for the interim. We don't have a telecommunications...
Well, I would just suggest that somebody's involved.
Right. Subcommittee of Finance, at the very least, to represent the Senate on this panel, I think.
The other question I had, Mr. Chairman, was the last intent. And I don't know what the effect is. I don't know this issue, so I'm just saying it looks strange to get, and I've got to understand it. No further expansion or upgrade of the state. There are some reasons that the state may be in the wrong position on this, and I don't know how that all works. But to be doing this, you know, this is a fairly strong statement in legislative intent, and I'd like to know what it means before I go along with it. It's real complex.
Okay, I guess this goes back to the comments I made earlier, that we are very much concerned about the rates that we are going to be having on our rural communities as a result of what we've been hearing from the actions of the state. And allowing the department to continue the further expansion, particularly in the upgrade of the current system, may in the long run jeopardize the rates for rural Alaska. And we've been hearing there that the savings to the state may represent anywhere from $1 million to $2 million, and if the savings to the state may be justified as far as budgetary concerns are kept in mind, but as far as the increase of the rest of the users of the state, there may be some problems in this, and we were concerned particularly with the subsidies that the state receives from the major utilities, what is it, AT&T particularly, when they see that if there's no interest, at least in the department or the state departments, to help keep the rates down, that they may forego or stop any other subsidies that that come in to help our telephone utilities provide services. And we thought, at least at this point from our preliminary investigations, that we thought that the state had gone a little bit too much afield there too, and had not taken a lot of these items, or particularly the rates, in consideration. I share Senator Halford's concerns on this, and I don't like to hamstring the department, but I am quite a bit concerned there that I don't want to see our rural rates go to the point there where we go back to a one phone in the village type situation where we were before, or have to go back to rely on shortwave or ham radios.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I guess I could just go ahead and talk. I mean, isn't the
problem not so much of what the state is doing, but what we've allowed to happen with respect to competition. I mean, that is the main attraction for telephone service is coming out of the urban areas where the rates are, I mean, where the traffic is substantial and the two major carriers more or less competing for their urban traffic. And isn't that where the biggest problem is?
Well, I think it's probably part of the problem. I don't know, and you know, to that extent, to how far that goes, but it is a concern there when we have a limited number of users throughout the state that we have now, that in order for us to keep our rates down to a certain level, we are going to have some sort of subsidy come in. And a lot of times that subsidy comes out from the major users of the lower 48. And I guess the concern that I have is, and I know they've been trying to either cut back or to eliminate that subsidy for our in-state utilities. Yeah. And if they look at and they see that the state of Alaska develops its own system and is not helping to participate in sharing in the costs for all the users in the state, then that may have a definite impact on the future subsidies, and which would, if you're going to keep the same system we have intact now, you're going to see a dramatic increase in the small private users throughout the state.
Mr. Chairman, I should be on the same side as Senator Zaroff, and, but you know, I would like to see it kept open so we can talk about
the letter of intent.
Is there any objection to that? We'll keep
page 90?
Or page 90, is that the perfect thing?
92.
95.
Or the intent is on page 95.
95. Okay, we'll keep the telecommunications operation, BRU, open for the purpose of reviewing the letter of intent.
Okay. Page 96, telecommunications network, RATNET. I've asked Mr. Northrup here, I don't know if he's still here or not. Oh, there he is. Any technical questions that may come up over these next meetings. Page 96, there was a request to include $17,000 for a translator at Elton Cove. We went along with that one. Page 98. You have a question on that? Okay, page 98. There was no change except this was transferred to telecom operations in FY88. Page 100, the Alaska Public Broadcasting Commission. There was a $296,000 increase, which consisted $18,000 for KCUK in Chivac, $20,000 for KUHB St. Paul, $41,000 for KCUHU in Valdez, $62,000 for the Alaska Information Radio Reading and Education Service in Anchorage, $110,000 for a new AM station at Fort Yukon, and $45,000 for K2 and Juneau. And those are basically operational and equipment costs and the development of the new station. Page 104.
Senator Alford.
I'd like to keep page 100 open because that's a pretty good size legislative add-on.
Yeah. Keep page 104, or no, excuse me, 100, was it?
Yeah. Page 100.
Page 100 open.
It's, well, 96 is the same thing. I don't know why it wasn't done to the same way. Well, it's just a translator.
Well, page 101, under Public Broadcasting Commission. Okay, Senator Zaroff.
Okay, that takes us to where? 104.
Mr.
Senator Hensley.
Are we going to keep 96 open as well?
96.
You want 96 open?
It was 96.
That was the translator for Elfin Cove.
Okay.
They speak. Well, translator. They speak the strange language.
I assume that's a dish.
Or that somebody to translate for. It's a dish.
Screws are right.
Okay. Moving along, page 104. No change. And this component was broken out into the following components of in FY 88, which is 106 leasing and facilities. There's no change. Page 108, the Alaska State Housing Authority, no change, except that this bonding note here that this bonded indebtedness was transferred to the Department of Revenue. Leases, page 110. There's no change in the total expenditures, but there is a change in the funding sources. The Senate cap did not allow for the $1,082,000 general fund increment requested by the department. This places an additional pressure on the department to obtain interagency receipts from other departments for leases. In this version of the budget, we were able to pick up $386,400 in general funds. There is still a remainder of $695,600 below what the department is requesting in general funds. But we have intent language in all of the other departments that they reimburse the Department of Administration for their costs to provide lease space. And this was the area in which they're the stimulated the need to introduce intent language in other departments. Okay, page 110. Moving on, page 112. Employee housing, there's no change. This component was deleted by the department in FY88, and employee housing is now the responsibility of the respective departments.
Question. Senator Howard.
On page 110, the $26 million, is that the total amount that we pay for lease space CDOA, or how's that work?
Senator Sarra. Commissioner?
The question, and I'm not sure, the question is
the $26 million under leasing and facilities. That's the total amount that we pay on leased property.
For leased office space. That's correct.
And that's exclusive of what, the court system? Exclusive of the legislature?
I have to defer to my expert.
Would you join us?
Bob Link is director of the Division of Jural Services and Supply and manages the leasing operations.
Continue, Senator Howard.
This don't have to be exact numbers, but about what percentage of your lease space out of this 26 to 28 million is in the Anchorage area?
My guess is more than half, but I'd have to get you the information.
Okay, and what kind of percentage generally is on long-term lease, and what kind of percentage is on short-term lease?
Most is on leases of 5 years or less.
So it's very short-term. My question, Mr. Chairman, is that commercial property values and leases, whether we like it or not, have gone down astronomically in the railroad. And we're showing a 3% reduction in what it costs us to lease space. What that either means is we're increasing our space a great deal, or something else is happening that I don't understand.
So
per square foot rates in Anchorage have been cut almost in half.
Right.
Half of your total leasing is in Anchorage. Do new lease rates reflect in this, or what's happening?
Every large lease we could negotiate down, we negotiated down. Which is every large lease everywhere. We went to where the biggest dollars are being spent, and because figure that's where the biggest gains are to be made. And so I off the top of my head, I say probably every large lease in Anchorage has been negotiated down more than a couple of percent.
I'm wondering why we need so much money now. That was near you or considerable. I mean,
that we anticipated a shortfall for some reason.
Yeah.
This, Mr. Chairman, this budget has fallen rather dramatically in the last couple of years. It was, I think, in FY86, over $30 million, $32 million or something like that. And again, this year we're forecasting another 5% reduction in the total cost of lease space. While that, as a total, that has not kept pace with the declining cost of renting space in Anchorage particularly. Part of that is beyond our control in the sense that you can only work with the leases that are coming due in the current year. Otherwise you end up like VM Barron's. Remember the VM Barron's case. So we suffer a time lag in some sense that you, in fiscal 89, we'll be able to address roughly one-fifth of the leases, only that fifth that is coming up for renewal during that year. The ones we just signed last year were locked in, even though these costs have continued to drop. We're stuck with that one for four more years on the average five-year lease.
Well, Mr. Chairman, it just doesn't seem like we should be terribly worried about a shortfall in this area. And I'm not saying whether the number should change, but I think there's enough room to.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. It was difficult trying to determine what we should do in this particular area. And it was my understanding that the leases that will be coming up this year, a majority of those leases will be in rural areas.
I'm not sure.
I thought somebody had made that comment there.
I can't tell you exactly. We went after the large ones the last couple of years.
Well, your rural or outlying areas, you are not going to see the drastic change in the lease rates as you do in the urban areas, because they seem to be more stable. I think they've probably been basically consistent throughout the years.
In general, the rural rates did not go up in the boom, and then they did not come back down again. They've been more level.
Right.
Excuse me, your statement that you're only looking at the larger leases?
No, when we went out to try and negotiate savings, we went after the larger leases because that's where the largest savings were.
But didn't you try to negotiate savings on the small?
Every lease we could, we tried to, but given the time and the people available, we went after the big dollars first. So we went after the Frontier buildings and the Hunt buildings and that type of thing first before we spent our time with the smaller ones first.
But I hope you're still reviewing all the leases and trying to negotiate the best possible price for the state in all those leases, whether they be large or small.
We have to, because over the past couple of years we've been unfunded at less than the amount of contracts for leases, so we don't have any choice.
Good.
Are there still further questions on this?
Senator Hopper, do you have any further questions on this lease area?
No.
Okay, Senator Zaroff.
My concern is that
As Senator Zaroff, if I understand this correctly, you wanted to add the balance of the savings from the longevity bonus reduction into this area, leasing and facilities.
We've already done it.
Oh,
That would be minus the add-ons that we had. And those are the ones that were held open in public broadcasting and so on, because we had,
right,
we had identified roughly 855,000 that we could probably take out of the longevity bonus program without doing any damage to it. And we had a large request there for legislative add-ons, and the balance of that we had suggested go into leasing to try to take up the slack on the 1,082,000 that was requested by the department.
Okay, and that was in this component?
This would be...
But that's already reflected, I think, isn't it?
Yes.
That's reflected in the 26,900,000?
That should be
I think so.
Fund source.
Okay, what was the balance that you were proposing to go into this component?
Sorry, there, I think.
It's already in there? Which is, and why doesn't it show up?
Because, as I understand.
So you just increase the interagency receipts back to the permanent fund program. I mean, not permanent fund, but the longevity bonus. Where are the interagency receipts coming from?
Interagency receipts were decreased.
From the departments whose space this is. From the departments who rent the office space, there was a decrease in the general fund, or in this case, the department had proposed an addition of $1,082,000.
Right.
In increase in general fund, the total leasing cost is still at 26.9.
Right.
Okay,
I see.
Increase in general fund.
I got you. Of the 1,082,000, which was denied, but then. It was what, 724?
It's already all rolled
in. Where's the
Senate
been
transferred?
Yeah.
So
you don't need to add anything here based on what he's recommending. It's already added.
Yeah. The action of the subcommittee added 386.4 in general funds and decreased the interagency
receipts
by that amount. I see. Well, Mr. Chairman, I know Senator Halford had that question on the lease question regarding 5% savings the department said that they would save. If there's $26 million in lease costs, 5% savings would be $1,250,000, would it not? Is that reflected in those figures?
I'm not sure I understand your question. There is a 5% decrease,
right,
between 88 and 89 in this budget already.
But you're also, I thought you said there was an additional savings. There's not.
I'm not.
In other words,
I'm not following you.
Okay, the 26.9 is what you're estimating as what it's going to cost you in leases for every lease in the state of Alaska, right?
Correct.
Okay. Is there going to be an additional 5% savings with this 26,900, or is that already factored into that figure that's before us?
It is already factored in.
You don't expect it would be even 1 or 2% more savings?
I don't expect it would be. No.
That was the reason for
that's the problem.
Request.
Okay, any further questions?
Here's our retirement incentive program, page 114. There was no change.
I got a question.
Senator Howell.
I thought that was an expiring program.
And the...
got one more year to go. How come a lot of the others expired?
Some departments were able to scrounge up the money to prepay that. They had a 3-year period in which to reimburse the retirement system for the costs of incurred by early retirements. So that in some departments that had funds available paid it up front, some are still owing considerable amounts of money.
The program has expired. There are no new people retiring. Anybody who's retired under that program has retired, but they did have a 3-year period for.
So DOA owes this still into the system.
Yeah. But as far as the program goes, it's
we're still paying for it.
Kaput. But some departments are still paying for it because they did have a 3-year. Some departments paid for it in 1 year.
I see. Okay, so as I understand it, we have pages 25 open regarding the intent language of Pioneer Homes and contracting out some of those operations.
Page 40.
Page 42. Page 60. Pages 95 and 96.
Letter of intent.
Deal with the letter of intent.
Okay, 96 was went beyond the letter of intent. I believe that there was another question on that.
Well, I think there's a question on that.
This was on the Elkin Cove.
Elkin Cove, correct.
And then page 100.
Page 100. And that's it.
Public broadcast information.
And maybe you could make a motion then of the intent language if we're going to include this in all the agency budgets.
Okay. We've had time to review that. Is there any problem with that intent language going into the other departments? Do you want that motion first?
Senator Zaroff, yeah, please.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would move and ask unanimous consent that the intent language be submitted to each department in the Office of the Commissioner, requiring that each department provide the Department of Administration with the full amount of funds necessary to provide for lease spaces.
Senator Halpern.
Just a question on language. The language here says, intent of the legislature that, if necessary, the Department of Labor shall provide, or the department whatever it shall provide. My inclination is that would always be necessary in the eyes of the Department of Administration and never be necessary in the eyes of the paying department. And I wonder if necessary language is
necessary.
So I would think it'd be a much more direct statement. It's the intent of the legislature that the Department of Labor, whatever, provide the Department of Administration with the full amount of funds, and I'd take out necessary there. And I'd say required to provide for lease space. Make sure they pay their bill.
Mm-hmm.
How would the department interpret that?
Commissioner?
Well, I would have to read into it a little bit, I suppose. I would take that to mean that we were to make up any shortfall in the general funding in the leasing budget by essentially taxing the other departments pro rata based on the dollar volume of their leases.
I'd say bill the other departments rather than tax.
Taxing?
Bill.
Well, Mr. Chairman,
well, when
we've got different departments.
Yeah. Billing.
I think that's fine. Mm-hmm. It's fine. I mean, Department of Administration, of course, doesn't have any teeth, really, to go out and collect that money, I guess. So we have to rely on the other departments and the governor to be sure they do pay it. And they should pay it. I agree with you. I think it's fine.
Is there any objection to that friendly amendment?
No, I don't have any problems. You want to take the second necessary out?
Senator Halpern.
Yeah.
Mr. Chairman,
I would make it just a flat statement. It's the intent of the legislature that the Department of Labor provide the Department of Administration with the full amount of funds to provide for lease space.
Mr. Chairman,
Senator Dunn,
I guess maybe after I just could we hold it just for a little while? I guess the only concern I might have, and maybe we need to check, is that if somewhere along the line, through some committee subcommittee work or just through an oversight, we failed to fund lease space in somebody else's budget. We should be aware of that ahead of time, and would like to ask Legislative Finance to check and see if there is any problem like that, where, for example, Department X, who may owe some lease money to the Department Administration, we failed to give them that money to pay over, because if they don't have the money to pay over, and that could be a problem. It's something we should be aware of, and perhaps Legislative Finance could just take a quick look for us and get back to
us. I'll tell you what we'll do, then. We'll keep this open. This intent language to all the commissioners' budgets open for the specific purposes of this intent language.
And
when you conclude, or when you come back to a point that you feel that you haven't, it's agreeable to the committee members, we'll bring it back up and deal with it all.
I doubt it's a problem. I just wanted to note if in my budget areas, for example, or any others, we didn't fund at least.
Mr. Chairman, could we adopt the amendments to the letter of intent? I don't have any problems with that.
Well, I think Senator Duncan had a problem now with the letter of intent.
Well,
he doesn't like what I Oh, he doesn't like what you said. Okay.
No, I don't. I just wanted to check,
is all.
Just to be sure that we knew what we were doing. And as I said, I think I agree with what the letter of intent says. Mm-hmm. I just want to be sure that we haven't unknowingly short-funded some department in leasing and may want to go back and make some changes there. Or I guess I've just asked it to be helpful.
There's objection to the motion. You want to withdraw your motion, Senator Zaro?
Well, withdraw the motion then.
Okay, and Senator Zaro, how about a motion to move out administration to close it? Okay, if those changes...
Chairman, I would move that we close the Department of Administration with the exception of those pages that were identified, pages 24, 25, 42, 60, 95, 96, and 100.
Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Next is the...
Which one?
Courts.
What is the ARTZ? What's the order after courts?
CORTZ?
QURTZ.
Oh, courts. Like courts here? Courts?
Tom, what's the order going to be for the rest of the afternoon?
Okay, we're going to go to Natural Resources. Senator Halpert has to leave for a while. After Natural Resources, if Senator Halpert is back, we'll come back to courts. If not, we'll go right to DOT.
And then after that, Mr. Chairman?
Then after DOT, we'll be courts. If Senator Halpert is back, if not, we'll go right into Fish and Game. And then courts will be the last one we'll do today.
Natural Resources, courts, DOT.
What are we doing now?
The natural resources.
Okay.
Okay.
Where's Natural Resources. Senator Duncan, whenever you're ready.
Okay, I'm getting ready here, Mr. Chairman. We're ready to go.
Okay, no problem.
Okay, DNR, Department of Natural Resources, staff is passing around a summary sheet of what we proposed in the resources budget, and we'll go through it page by page here in just a moment. The original base for the... The FY88 authorized level was 42,880.3, and the cap that you have given us is 48,342, which we met, okay? And so we'll go through it on a page-by-page basis, if that's okay with you at this point. Mm-hmm. On page two, then, page two, the commissioner's office, actually it's page three, management and administration. My pages don't. Just one second, Mr. Chairman. What do we need to do here on page two or three?
Because this is just changes.
Okay, page three, there were no changes between the governor's amended and the and our recommendation. Well, yes, there is, too. Here. Okay, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. There is no changes. Okay, are you with me?
Got
you. Okay, good. I want to be sure you're awake up there. These things are all screwed up. Okay. Yeah, we're on page. We just finished page three. Now we're on page four. Okay.
Because there's two sets of threes here.
I know. That's what messed me up, but it works out. Okay. Now we're on page four. Management, administration, administrative services. Okay, the change is that we have added some intent language here. Boy, this printing is not great, I guess. But anyway, you have that on the page before you. It is a legislature intent that $90,000 be appropriated for the Eskimo Walrus Commission and $46,800 for Reindeer Herder Association, excuse me.
What's that?
Mr. Chairman?
Senator,
are we going to get the commissioner up here?
Commissioner, if you could join us at the table, please. Is the commissioner here?
Oh, there's just a single light there. There's...
Good afternoon, too.
Good afternoon.
But that says page six.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I was just wondering, is this money that's in here, is that money that's going to go for that anyway, or are we taking it away from something on page six, or what are we doing with the Walrus Commission?
Mr. Chairman?
Senator Hinsley.
That's kind of an unfair question, isn't it? I mean, he doesn't have any walrus in his district.
Who are you talking about? Unfair about it. It's just, I'm just asking what we're doing.
This doesn't look like this.
I might have. I got it right here. Lost a couple through the years. They keep giving it plastic bags.
Okay. Did you ask me a question?
I think anybody who doesn't understand.
I was asking the commissioner a question.
We're on page six on grants.
Yeah. Okay. Senator Ewing.
What is, did you get the question?
Yes, I did.
Commissioner.
We put in 50, and the committee added 40.
46.
40.
46, 8. Oh, you put in 50, we added 40.
And I'm not certain if that was new money or if that's to be subtracted money.
New money or what?
Or subtracted money. Money from money to be taken from elsewhere in the budget.
Well, it balances out under our cap, Mr. Chairman, is the answer to that. So that means that we did what we could under the cap, and if we had to increase this as we did to fulfill the Walsh Commission's duties, yes, it was taken from somewhere else.
Well, Mr. Chairman, do we know where it was taken from?
Well, there's a lot of shifting around, so I guess you can't identify this as coming from one area or not. There was some shifting around in various components to do various things which seemed to be priorities as far as the legislature was concerned. We didn't identify this money as, you know, dollar for dollar as coming from any one component. We tried to make room underneath the cap to move money around to address the priorities of certain members, all members of the legislature, as well as the administration, and this is one of the things we did.
Okay. I request we hold that open.
Okay, we'll open page seven. Or actually, page...
It's actually page six.
Six. Yes.
The other... we had the other... Well, there's two things here, if you recall. That's the Walsh Commission and Reindeer Herder Association.
Well, Mr. Chairman, that does come to a total of... 180.
It comes with a total of 136.8.
136.
Yes. Broken down $90,000 to the Eskimo Walrus Commission and 46.8 for the Reindeer Herder Association. Okay.
Okay, Senator.
Okay, then page eight, management and administration information records management. There really was no change there between the governor's recommendation and what we did, what the subcommittee recommended. Page 10, management and administration recorder's office. No change there either between what was proposed by the governor and the subcommittee. Page 12, management administration, IRM data and word processing. No change there between what was proposed by the governor and the subcommittee. There was a transfer. This component was transferred out, so it will be addressed elsewhere. Page 14, management administration, DP, direct charge, CIP. No change there. Page 16, commissions, subprogram. There was no funding here. FY88 authorized level, there was some funding. That's the Citizens Advisory Commission on Federal Areas. We have passed legislation that reestablishes that commission and keeps it going. The Senate has passed legislation, and attached to that bill is a fiscal note that would fund this commission. And talking to the prime sponsor of the legislation, Senator Fahrenkamp, she has agreed that we should let it ride with the legislation, because that does extend the commission, and then hopefully it'll be built back into the base each year instead of us having to go through the House to get it funded. So it hopefully will be taken care of, but not in the budget, but through a fiscal note. Page 20, land and water management, land and water public use. The difference here is we reduced the
funding by $330,000 for the Mental Health Commission. My understanding is that that money is not needed, and the department concurs with that reduction. Is that correct?
Yes.
That's in the contractual line, Mr. Chairman.
Yes, that's in the contractual line item, $330,000. Okay, that would take us to page 22, Land and Water Management, Land Conveyances. No change there between the Governor's Amendment and the Senate. Page 24, Land and Water Management Survey, Direct Charge, CIP. No change there between the Governor's Amendment and the Senate budget. Page 28, Forest Management. No change there. Excuse me. There is a change of 300. I'm sorry. Page 28. One moment, please.
Looks like there, Mr. Chairman, there's a reduction in interagency
yes,
receipts.
Yes, there is. There's also a reduction in the general fund. I don't have that marked on my sheet here. What we did, if you'll look on page 29, it is there. We deleted the increase for Matsu Valley Timber Sale, 46.1. Deleted the increase for reforestation, 20,000. And the deletions are listed there on page 29. The total deletions was $300,000. Okay, page 30. Forest management, fire suppression. They have they had requested an increment for fire suppression of $3,480,000. The governor had. We allowed an increment of $3,290,300, so the total funding level for that component, $7,580,500.
So, Senator Duncan?
Yes.
Now, we then in the base had allowed for an increment or an addition to the fire suppression fund of $3,480,300, and then you only allowed an increase
of $3,290,000
less than that.
Right.
Okay.
Yes. So there is an increment over the previous year. It's not as large an increment as the governor had recommended.
Right. That we established the base.
Right. Okay. Okay. Page 34. Nothing there. Page 38, Petroleum Management. The governor's amended figure was $3,348.6. Our recommendation is $3,256.3. And you can find on page 39 there of, I apologize, the handout I gave you, I guess, doesn't list a couple of these areas as being changes. Well, I'm not sure I understand that explanation. But anyway, the difference between the governor's amended and the Senate of $3,348 to $3,256, you can find on page 39, where we see a decrease of 92.3, and that those are the decreases that are listed there under the Senate analysis.
Mr. Chairman, so the total increment was 72.3, and all we're doing is you're spreading the travel contractual commodities and equipment plus the extra position that you didn't, that you never granted, right? The total was a package of 72,000.
What are you, I'm not...
Or 92,000.
The 92,000.3 is what's being disallowed, and it's
right.
It's broken out between the 68.8 for personal services, 5,000 for travel, 12,000 for contractual, 500 for commodities, and 6,000 decrease for equipment, okay? Page 40, Energy Resources. This was transferred out to Petroleum Management, so the component is zeroed out. Page 44, Division of Mining and Mining Management. The difference there is we've added $50,000 in general funds to implement the North Latitude Coal Technology Program that brings in one position in Fairbanks. And we added $50,000 in general funds for one placer mining position in Fairbanks also.
that's the change.
Can we have a brief explanation of what those two positions are?
Yes, Senator. The Northern Latitude Coal Technology Program came out of the Kickstart budget, and it's an experiment. There is something like $2.3 billion in coal research money available. This state has never applied for any of that money. So we're going to hire, we propose to hire somebody whose sole job it is to work with the companies in Alaska and to work with the university and pull, we think the first year we can pull about $250,000 worth of money. We want to do, we want to bring enough money into the state so we can raise the price of our coal by increasing the, especially in drying areas. I mean, it's sort of a weird thing for us to be doing, but we've got some hotshots in coal right now who are real interested in this and have already started working with the university and private companies. They really think they can bring this money on.
And the placer mining position?
We are doing, in the past we have visited maybe 10 mines a year. This year we're going to visit 160. And if we get this extra position, we'll be able to visit all of them. We have made an informal agreement with DEC and Fish and Game. When they have a problem with a mine, they are going to call us immediately. We're going to have somebody out, a mining engineer, to work with the miner. To take care of the problem, so that in essence all the mining streams become priority streams in the sense that we're going to have people right there. We have we have one person in Fairbanks now, one and a half, and this will give us another person.
And they'll provide technical expertise to the miners to try and help
you? Yeah, they'll be mining engineers. We have more mining on state land this year, more than we ever have had, mainly because of the suits on the federal land are pushing the miners off into state land, particularly in the interior. We would like to avoid a blanket suit that occurred, the kind of thing that occurred on federal land, by making sure we've got somebody on site to all the mining claims this summer. So this position would do that. We're going to visit as many as we can anyway, but it's to try to cover them all.
Thank you. Senator Hensley.
On that North Latitude Coal program, do we need to add people to do that? I understand we have about $9 or $10 million of research funds going into the university. Could that not be done under that program?
Senator, we think it should be, you know, we would like to see them do that. I guess the point is they haven't. And the interest of the division working with the coal companies and working with some people in the university is very much applied science.
Well, we have, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Hensley.
We have 476 people doing research at the University of Alaska.
Yes, sir.
Couldn't somebody there do it?